Well, thank you so much again for being here. As I mentioned before, it's a joy for me to be here. We look forward to this time, and we'll get into the Bible, and then afterwards, after the invitation, we'll have a short business meeting. But again, I appreciate your prayers for me as I was sick, and thankful for my family staying well. So we thank God that they are protected in that. But of course, you know that I had COVID over a year ago, last year, and then it's just been sneaking back up on me again, I guess. So here it was. You know, I've heard so many folks say that this time around, or what's going on right now, is not much in severity, just feels like a cold. And so I told somebody, if I was a cold, I don't want to have the flu, because that was pretty bad. So, it was hit me pretty hard. Maybe I'm just weaker than some other folks, but I'm thankful to be done, thankful to be over. And so now, hopefully, won't have to worry about it for a little while. If it comes again, I guess it comes again. But you know, through all this, all jokes aside, I'm all about being cautious. I really am. Everybody's got their various levels, and I don't spend a lot of time trying to preach my level to you of how serious you should take your precautions. Or, I mean, all of us should take our precautions seriously, but to what level, I should say, what level you take precautions. And I expect that you shouldn't tell everybody else either. I think that people just gather information and be where they want to be. And you know, all through everything, we've been welcoming people to be at whatever level they felt comfortable. If they didn't feel comfortable coming, they've been watching online. Many people are still doing that, and we thank God for it. So I don't necessarily try to do a lot of preaching in that. I certainly don't try to do any preaching in that to tell a person how they should, what level they should be at. But whatever level you feel comfortable, you realize that we still look to the Lord for safety. Every precaution that you can take is not going to prevent it. I'm not saying you just throw precaution to the wind. I certainly don't say that at all. But what I'm saying is, whatever level you feel like the Lord has led you to be at, and I do think it's a spiritual thing. I think everything, pray about everything. But regardless of that, if you're the most cautious of souls about it, you still realize that, as the Bible says, horses are prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. That's not just in the battle scene, that's in the medical scene and all the others. And so we just thank the Lord for His goodness and thank the Lord for His safety, and we ought to certainly don't draw comfort in your great ability. Draw comfort from the good Lord above. And so we're thankful for that. And that same message is true with people I'm looking at, dear ones we love right now. Looking at Brother Tom and different folks that have gone to the mat, so to speak, against cancer. And through all of that, they say, it's the Lord. The Lord sees fit to raise these good folks up. If He sees fit not to let things get them, then we'll hate it. But it's the Lord's goodness. And so I just want to say, praise the Lord for His goodness. Well, if you look back at Ephesians chapter 6, I started us a couple weeks ago before I left. I started us in a couple of verses here at the end of Ephesians. This is the armor of God section. And really, this is not a part on prayer, but if you've given me liberty, I just want to get this lesson, maybe one more lesson, just really off of prayer, but going to some other places. You see that in verse number 10, 11, 12, 13, putting on the armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. I did hear a story, as you're finding your place in Ephesians chapter 6. This lady had, she was talking to her family, her husband afterwards, and she said, well, she was on a diet, you know. And so she got back out. He said, well, how's it going? She said, well, I just want you to know, the armor of God must be awful heavy today, because I'm a little heavier than I want it to be. So I'm saying this, pray, get the armor of God on before you get on the scale. And that way you've got an excuse. And so whenever that's a few pounds over where you want to be, just say, boy, what a prayer life I've got. Man, oh man, I must have prayed down a lot of armor of God. So you indulge me just a little bit here. We're going to look again at verse number 18 of Ephesians 6 and the extent of prayer that we're looking at. We looked at the need for prayer. And again, this is not a prayer passage, what you think of as a prayer passage. But I'm driving home a point. We'll get it maybe in somewhere there in one of the points, I think. We'll point one, maybe. We'll get it in this point, maybe just in exhibition. And that is to show that prayers all the way through the Scriptures, even when you're not on a prayer passage. You know, we think you have not because you ask not. We think about knock, it shall be opened unto you, prayer passages, and you can preach a sermon series on that, and well, you should. But it's all through other places as well, and this being one of them, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication, again, another form of prayer for all saints. And he says, while at it, and for me, don't forget to pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Father, bless us now as our prayer. Give us these next moments, dear Lord, to draw some great application about this idea of prayer. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. There's one thing that we as Christians are missing in our Christian lives. And even if you're doing a great job at it, you can stand to do better. And that is this area of prayer. John Rice said in his book, Prayer is Asking, and truly prayer is asking. Prayer asking, receiving is the name of it. But he told in a message one time, he said, I think sometimes about the fact that we may get to heaven, and of course this was just an illustration. He said, I think sometimes we'll get to heaven, and when we get to heaven, we'll see all of these things and great rewards. And we'll be able to ask the Lord, Lord, what were those? And he said, I really feel convicted that the Lord's going to say, those are all the things I had for you that I would have given you if you'd only asked. Now, I don't know whether it's going to be like that. He didn't either. He was just supposing that possibly it would be. But I don't think, and I don't have to ask this question tonight, but I don't think there's one person in this room that says, I'm prayed too much. I've just given too much time to prayer. I should take some of that reserve or some of that resources of my time and do something else with it. Prayer is not praying for the greater work, one preacher said. Prayer is the greater work. And one person put it that you can do more after you pray, but you can't do anything more until you pray. And so prayer is so needed. I want you to see this, first of all. We're supposed to pray at all times. The Bible says, praying always. Again, just hitting it a glancing blow, the purpose of this passage is about putting on the armor of God, service on the job for God, and taking that helmet of salvation and all that. But it's almost as if God wants us to know that prayer has got to be a part of everything that we do in the Christian life, and that's why he says praying always. With all prayer and supplication. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we are supposed to continuing instant in prayer. We know what it's like to be instant. Instant in season, out of season means just be constant, be always on the go. We know what it's like to have instant stuff now. If somebody, you don't want to wait for brewed coffee, so you put that Keurig cup in there. If the water's hot, it's coming out pretty quick. My mamaw used to drink those Folgers crystals, that just that instant coffee, a big heaping tablespoon in a small cup, and that's what she would do because she wanted it right away. She won't wait for it to get brewed. And the instant, meaning that it happens consistently, and the other form of that word instant means constant, that it's always there. Praying always, pray at all times. In Colossians chapter 4, the Bible says that we are supposed to continue in prayer. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. There's a little 4-year-old class, one of the ladies taught it at a church we served at in Iowa. And this little boy said, he quoted that verse, and she said, I don't know if that's right. And she quoted it again. He was emphatic. And the reason that she chuckled was the same reason you will. And she said, he would say to her over and over again, pray without sneezing. Which is a chore sometimes. And so he thought that must be why God put it in there, because that's hard to do sometimes when you have a cold. Pray without sneezing, but pray without ceasing. You see, we're supposed to pray in the good times and the bad times. And when things go wrong, we're supposed to pray. And that's sometimes easy. We understand that when Peter, sinking on the water, he cried out to the Lord to help me. Peter, Lord, save me. We understand it's easy sometimes to pray in the bad times, but I'm going to challenge you to do something, and that is to pray in the good times as well. You ought to get in the habit of praying all of the time. And the second point down there, I think, is it ought to almost be like breathing in and out. I challenge you to just pray about all the things. Lord, help this, and Lord, bless that, and Lord, thank you for that, and give glory to the Lord. We're going to get into the different parts of prayer, types of prayer here in just a little bit. But you and I ought to be on the constant prayer. One thing I've been challenging myself, and I challenge you to do, is this. After God answers a prayer, that you don't just toss it over into the land of forgetfulness, that you praise the Lord for what He's already done. You say, well, He knows what He did. I know He knows, but it helps me when I say, Lord, thank You for doing that. I don't want to get on my face and pray and pray and pray and pray and ask God to do something and send something or send somebody or do this. And then when He does it, oh, thanks, Lord, and then go on begging for the next thing. I want to spend some time, Lord, thank You for doing that. And the Lord is not fickle, as my mamma would say. He's not fickle like we are, because if it were me and you ask and ask and ask for something, then after I did it, you didn't give me any thanks, I'd probably be slow to do it the next time. Now, the Lord is not fickle like we are, but if it were me, I would be. But I still think that we ought to be those that praise in the after it's done and just thank the Lord for what He has done. So the extent of our praying, as I mentioned already, should almost be like breathing in, breathing out. Lord, thank You for this day. Lord, thank You for doing that. Lord, thank You for keeping me from... We ought to be driving up this interstate, be people driving like maniacs. If you're one of them, don't tell me. We're going to preach about you in a little bit. Driving up here like maniacs. If you make it through, you ought to say, Lord, thank You for bringing me through again. But little near misses and things that could have happened and things that could have went wrong. I don't think you should dwell all your day on that, because it depresses you. But I do think when they come up, you say, Lord, thank You for keeping me safe. I already mentioned earlier about our safety health-wise. Horses are prepared against the day of battle. That's a direct quote from the Word of God. But safety is of the Lord. There's a reason why all of us made it here tonight. That's because of God's goodness. It's of His mercies that we're not consumed. And so we ought to pray at all times. But not only that, we ought to pray all kinds of prayers, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, that's not specifically what this means, but I'm going to apply it in this way. I don't think it's doing any harm whatsoever at all to Scripture. We're supposed to pray all kinds of prayers. There's some of those quick ones, Lord, help me. Lord, please help us. There are some of those long ones where you just labor and you season in prayer. There are some of those prayers where where you're just pouring your heart out before the Lord. There's other parts of prayer where you're just reminding yourself and reminding the Lord of what He's promised to do. I put in there underneath in your handout ACTS. This is one little acrostic that a lot of people use in prayer. If you have a pen, you write it down. You may already have heard it years ago. But the ACTS system, so to speak, is this, a way to take you through from your start to the finish of your prayer time. Because sometimes we have a hard time saying, okay, what do I say for that long? Let's say I've got 25 minutes, I'm going to pray. What do I say? A is for adoration. Adoration or adoring. And it's a great thing. I use this many, many times. This is what I use as we go through prayer, as I go through prayer time. Adoration, you're adoring the Lord. Lord, thank You for Your goodness. Thank you for letting me get up today. You're just adoration. You're just pouring out praise and worship to Him. Adoration. You say, wait, shouldn't I confess? It's going to come here in just a little bit. But here's one thing I found. If you'll remember who you're talking to, you're usually more thorough in asking to forgive you for the things that you've done that weren't right. And that C is for confession. And so that first A, that adoration, is coming to Him and saying, Lord, I know who I'm coming to. Oh, there's no way I can know You completely, because Your ways are so much higher than mine. I don't mean that we know each other like old friends, but I do know that You've been a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know who I'm talking about, adoration. But then after I get to adoration, confession, and I say, Lord, this, I've done this. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then letter T, the T from Acts, being thanksgiving, much like adoration, but this one, we're really just giving Him thanks for the things that He's done. Lord, thank You for my family. Thank You for my sweet wife. Thank You for getting me better, Lord. Thank You for what You've done in my children's life. Thank You for letting me be the pastor of this church. Thank You for this. Thank You for this. The Bible talks about the praise of our God should be on our lips. And there's a very little between praise and thanksgiving, very little difference that is. And so the T being thanksgiving, just thanking Him. And then the last letter is what many people think the only part of prayer is, but it's far from the only part of prayer. And that's supplication. You're just asking, Lord, would You please do this? But all of those are prayer. And so it was a great day when I learned back years ago, because I'd hear preachers preach about folks that need to pray for a long time and they need to pray for an hour or pray for this. And certainly we should for at different times and seasons in our lives. But I would think, Lord, I sit down there to pray or lay down there to pray or kneel down there to pray. And it seems like 5 minutes later, I'm done. I got my little list and I already prayed through it. But it was a wonderful day when I realized that prayer, asking God to do this, like a genie in a bottle, is a very small part of your prayer life. That remembering who it is you're talking to, that adoration, that confession of our sins. You know, we've done it publicly here from the pulpit, that we confess our nation's sins that we're not even involved in. And say, Lord, forgive us for the way that we as a nation have done things that You and I personally are not involved with. And so that confession. So we ought to have these different kinds of prayer. And then I just threw this in there, desperate and delighted. I'd much rather be delighted than desperate, but both of those are great times to be praying. That's prayer, those desperate times. But so are those delighted times. Number three, not only should we have all kinds of prayer, but we're supposed to have perseverance in our prayers. And we see here at the end, the Bible says, praying, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Continuing always. That's the way we're supposed to be praying, the Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 12. You remember the story that in Luke chapter 11, when was told about that person that came to their friend. As they came to their friend, they said, please give unto me. And they said, I can't do it. My kids are in bed. I'm not going to come out. And said, even though they wouldn't come out and let you in and give you some food because of your friendship, excuse me, they would based on your importunity. And your importunity is just that that you came again and again and again. Pardon me. I don't know of any better illustration for importunity than about a 7 or 8 year old that's really got on his mind what he wants for Christmas. And he's not sure that you're sure that he knows that, or he's not sure that you're sure that you want to get it yet. You remember the days back in the years ago, if you're young in here, if you're a teenager, you don't know this, but used to be this big old book thicker than this Bible that would come. That Sears wish book. You know, you'd find that book, and in that book you'd have circled, and then you'd leave it plopped open to that part on the ottoman there in front of the living room couch. If it ever got changed, you'd move it back there, flip it back there, and leave it open again, so that anybody that opened up that or picked up that book, first thing they saw was that big wheel or whatever it was, that Stretch Armstrong or whatever it was you wanted. They want to make sure that you had done your homework. And every opportunity they got, you know, you could be talking about anything, talking about stars or talking about 2x4s in the house or talking about anything, and that 7-year-old would get it back around to that Stretch Armstrong he wanted. You know what makes this job a whole lot easier is we're redoing this bathroom, Dad. Stretch Armstrong. You know what I need? Yeah, I need one of those Tonka trucks. And importunity. I really need it. As a matter of fact, I really need it bad. And so we see that perseverance is mentioned here, the pray, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. we see that we need to pray with that. And then we also see the last one, that we are supposed to pray for the saints. And I want to just end on this one, spend just a few moments. I can't stress the last four words of verse 18 enough. Because I see brokenhearted people that would love to be able to serve. We're a strange group of people. We need folks to serve in our bus ministry and our Sunday school and different areas, you know, but bus ministry, out and about visit. But there's people that would love to do it if their body would only allow. But I see people who aren't able to physically be that person that's doing some of the work upstairs on the remodel of the Ridge Kids. They'd love to be able to. But I talk to people all the time that can't physically, they're not able to, but they act as if that there's nothing for them to do because their body won't cooperate. How many of you know what it's like your body not to cooperate? Amen. They call that your mind writing checks that your body can't cash. And so there's a lot of people find themselves in that position. And I find so many folks, when they get there, they think that they're all washed up. But I want you to look at the last four words of verse 18. And there is a ministry that is untapped to some degree, but is able to be participated in. The Bible says, and supplication for all saints. We are to pray for all saints. Now, it stands to reason there's not enough classes in this church for all of us to teach one of them. There's not enough doors for all of us to be a greeter. There's not enough ushers for all of us to be an usher at, whatever that is. There's not enough ushing to be done. There's too many of us. If every lady in the auditorium wants to help in the nursery, which we need help in the nursery, that's a good problem. We are overcrowded back there and we need more ladies. And if you ladies would help, we'd certainly need you. But if every lady said, okay, I'll take a turn, we wouldn't have enough spots for those ladies. So it's a strange thing, but I can tell you where there's room for everyone. And the command is given that we're supposed to be involved in supplication for all saints. And so when people say to me, yeah, but I want to really serve, they mean I want to do something that's maybe a little bit more visible. Well, it shows our thoughts about the importance of prayers and about outward serving. But most of us, I'm not preaching at people, I'm preaching at us all people. Like, you know, as they say, all y'all. You know, that one, if you teach somebody how to speak from down here, say, you know, y'all, and then if plural, it's y'all. If it's possessive, it's y'all's. And if it's every plural, it's all y'all. And if you're from the mountains, it's you'uns and you'uns. So, but we know what it's like. It's to everybody. It's to all of us. And all of us undervalue this avenue of prayer. I know it's true because I don't think I'm alone when sometimes I hear missionaries get up and they say, the best thing you can do is pray for me. And then my cynical mind says, yeah, and give you some money. That shows my lack of importance put on prayer, my too much importance put on the dollar, because what they said was exactly right. If I had to choose between supporting them or praying for them, they would be better off for me to pray for them. Amen. But I find myself forgetting the importance of prayer. Supplication for all saints. Supplication for all saints. Those four words are going to be what I leave you with to show you our important ministry that we're leaving oftentimes undone. Pray one for another. Bear one another's burdens. When the Lord brings somebody, and I'm done, when He brings somebody to your mind this week, tomorrow, I'd like to give everybody an assignment. You won't fulfill it, so please don't get haughty and think you will. We won't fulfill it all completely because we'll just forget. But I want to challenge you along with me. Are you ready for the challenge? When somebody comes to mind tomorrow, pray for them. If I come to mind, pray for me. But if somebody that's across sitting over there comes to mind, pray for them. Some believer you haven't thought about in years comes to mind, don't just say, pray for them. And I want to give you this spiritual exercise. Whatever you're doing, you don't have to stop and get on your knees, close your eyes and all that. You don't have to go to an official prayer time. Be going along. Lord, bless them today. You know what they're going through. Or maybe you know what they're going through. Lord, strengthen them today. Their sickness is really bad. I pray that you give them grace to get through it. Supplication for all saints. So, you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to make an internal commitment. Would you take that commitment on? Tomorrow, try it. I'm going to do the same. When the Lord brings somebody to mind, pray for them. And then if you're around people that you're working with and whatnot, try to do the same with them as you're walking away, as you're walking toward. Lord, bless so-and-so. Bless them, help them. Supplication for all saints. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that we would each and every one of us up our prayer game tomorrow. Lord, I pray that we would be more proactive. Your word says that be faithful to have those supplications for all saints, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Lord, help us to supplicate for all saints tomorrow. And Lord, I'm trusting you that you'll bring people to mind that need our prayer. Lord, we could work into a team together. You, me, these good folks. Lord, I need their prayers, and so I pray they pray for me. And Lord, you're going to bring people to their mind that need you to work on their behalf. Help us, I pray. Would you look up this way for a minute? It kind of blows my mind, so I just wanted to give you this. It's strange, and then we'll have the invitation here in just a minute. You think, well, why would God want to bring somebody to my mind so that I would pray to him so that he would bless them? Why wouldn't he just cut out the middleman? It shows to the point that prayer is important on both sides. So God not only wants to bless that person that he wants to bless, he could do it without you or me, that's for sure. But he wants to get you in on the equation. So he puts them on your mind so that you'll go to him on their behalf, and then he blesses them because of your prayer, and you get blessed because of your interaction. It's just a beautiful thing, and I'd love to say I understand it, but that would be a lie. I don't. But I just think it's pretty phenomenal. Lord, help us again, I pray, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as they play something through? And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. It's a strange, different lesson, I understand. But I've just been kind of pushed down to realize that this prayer is so much more important than we make it out to be. I didn't preach on this, but perhaps you're here and you're not sure you're saved. I know most everybody, if not everybody, but I don't know your heart. Maybe you're in this room and if something were to happen to you, you wouldn't be sure where you'd end up. Something tragic would end your life. You don't know where you'd go. Not sure you'd go to heaven. If that's you and you'd like to be sure, I invite you to come. Let me or somebody show you from the Word of God how you can be sure heaven's your home. As they play through another verse, would you take that challenge on about tomorrow? Say, Lord, if you'll bring whoever you bring to mind, I'll try. You'll fail, I'll fail. I know that. There's no gotcha moments here. But you'd say, I'm going to try. people the Lord brings to my mind, I'm going to pray for them. Quick prayers. I'm going down, Lord. Lord, help them with what's going on today in their life. We can labor together with God in prayer. Wouldn't it be exciting? Thank you so much. You can be seated, as a matter of fact. And I want to share with you, we'll officially, Daniel will come up just a minute as our spokesman for the secretary for the deacons and share with you. But if you got anybody else back out there, me and the ushers, want to come on in. I just want to share with you for a little bit. Thank you. And so I want to share with you for just a little while about what we're doing with the house right over here. You know, it's on Delta Street and corner of Delta and Suncrest right across here from the auditorium. And the thing I love about church is that I don't say the church family glibly. I think that's what we're supposed to be, have a good time. We've got some crazy uncles in our family. We've got some people that, you know, are a little more talkative than others. We've got, you know, the whole gamut, just like your family. It is the way it goes. But when we have times that we are going to do something, I just want everybody to know what we're doing. And so, you know, we bought this house over here, and I believe the Lord kept the price down low the way that we were able to buy it because of the connections we had and different things. I believe we bought it cheaper than we would have paid. We paid less than we would have paid had it just gone to a realtor and they'd have put it that way. I guess we already cut off out back there for the live stream, right? And downstairs. So we bought that house, the church, we voted to do that, and it's exciting. But just like everything else, it's expensive to do anything.